A high school basketball coach says he was fired for complaining. The coach in Alabama says he warned his supervisors about the treatment of girls' sports teams. He said they received inferior equipment and less funding than the boys. Today, that man's case reaches the United States Supreme Court. There is a federal law banning sex discrimination in public education. The question is whether that law can also protect those who report discrimination. Here's NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg.
Roderick Jackson was a winning basketball coach when he lost his job. An Army Reserve veteran with a master's degree, Jackson began teaching and coaching in the Birmingham Public Schools in 1988. In 1999, he came to Ensley High School, a magnet school in a blighted high-crime neighborhood with a student body of 850 youngsters, almost all of them black. Jackson says he became increasingly upset at the treatment of the girls' basketball teams he was coaching. While the boys practiced in the new gym, he says, the girls practiced in an old rickety gym with wooden backboards, bent rims, and no heat. What's more, he says, when the budget got tight, the school eliminated the girls' junior varsity team altogether, but not the boys. Jackson complained first in person and then in writing, following, as he puts it, the chain of command.
I was just told to play ball. You make problems for yourself.
But he says that his job evaluation soon plummeted from the superb ones he'd always gotten before, and finally he was dismissed as coach.
I received a letter saying I was fired, and it's a real, it's a devastating feeling, and even my players, you know, around the school were talking about coach has been let go.
Jackson says he's convinced he would have lost his teaching job too, but Alabama's teacher tenure law prevented that. At the same time he was fired as coach, Jackson notes, the girls' team was outshining the boys.
We had won more games than the boys had finished second in our area to a eventual state champion. So all I could think of, the complaints finally caught up, and they weren't joking when they said that I was going to make problems for myself.
His firing was, he believes, punishment for complaining about conditions that would be a clear violation of federal law. And Jackson sued the school district, seeking reinstatement in his coaching duties and back pay. 2 years later, a new school principal did rehire him as coach, but Jackson's suit for back pay continued in the courts, with the coach actually representing himself in a federal appeals court to save money. That court subsequently ruled against Jackson. The appeals court said that the federal law banning gender discrimination in education does not specifically authorize retaliation lawsuits for those who report alleged violations. Kenneth Thomas represents the Birmingham School Board.
And that interpretation is based on what Congress said. It didn't say anything about retaliation for indirect beneficiaries.
The federal law, known as Title IX, in fact, speaks in broad terms in banning gender discrimination in education and directs the Department of Education to enact regulations to carry out that mandate. One of those regulations does ban retaliation, and for good reason, says Duke Law Professor Walter Dellinger.
70% of all the complaints of Title IX violations actually do come from administrators, faculty members, and that's for several very good reasons. It's hard enough for someone like Coach Jackson to have the courage to step forward. Think how much harder it is for young girls, half of those covered or more are in high school or minors.
Dellinger and the National Women's Law Center are now representing Coach Jackson in the Supreme Court for free. They are supported by the Bush administration, which contends that teachers and coaches are often, quote, the only effective advocates for their students and the only ones in a position to know what's going on. Moreover, the administration argues that Congress's goal of making sure that federal funds do not finance discrimination depends to a large extent on the willingness of school personnel who observe such practices to report them without fear of retaliation. The administration argues that Title IX draws no distinction between discriminatory retaliation against a direct victim like a student or an indirect victim like a teacher or coach. Both are forbidden, say Coach Jackson's advocates, and the Supreme Court has already said that direct victims have a right to sue. The Birmingham School Board's Kenneth Thomas says there are already plenty of checks in place on the school system and that the appeals court was correct in declaring there is no right to sue for teachers and coaches.
In the Birmingham School District, we have board meetings every other Tuesdays the second Tuesday and fourth Tuesday of each month. And I promise you, the girls and their parents would have no hesitation whatsoever in bringing to that school board's attention that the girls' basketball team at Inslee was not at a level that they wished it to be.
Thomas denies Coach Jackson's firing was retaliatory, but he refused to cite a reason for the dismissal. He denies Jackson's charges of discrimination and says that if true, those allegations could lead to a cutoff in federal funds for the school district. He says that if Coach Jackson wanted to complain about perceived discrimination, all he had to do was call a Department of Education hotline in Atlanta. But he concedes that, too, could have put Jackson in jeopardy.
There are a lot of more severe consequences for a school district than just a little lawsuit from Mr. Jackson.
If he had called the hotline and you wanted to retaliate against him, he would have no right to sue you for retaliating against him for reporting what he saw as unequal treatment of girls' sports.
That is the current law of the 11th Circuit.
And that is precisely why civil rights advocates say Coach Jackson's case is so important. Most of the nation's civil rights laws barring discrimination based on race, national origin, and age are written in the same broad terms as Title IX. So if retaliation is permitted against teachers and coaches under Title IX, it likely would be permitted against others who protest other forms of discrimination, too. Coach Jackson, a 39-year-old father of two, says he never imagined his case would make it all the way to the Supreme Court. He complained, he says, because standing up for his young ladies, as he calls them, is part of the lesson of sport.
They learn a sense of self-worth, self-value. They learn teamwork, sportsmanship, leadership, as well as followership. I mean, all the values of life, life lessons, if you will, are learned and obtained from sports.
And, he says, it was important to him personally to live out one of those life lessons.
The moral of the story, with all this you read and hear, stand up for what you believe in. That's what built this great country, and I fully believe that.
A Supreme Court decision in the Jackson case is expected after the first of the year. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.